program, but we are delighted to welcome in to the program Frank Parlato, frankreport.com, investigative reporter. Frank, good morning, Merry Christmas, and thank you for the time this morning.
It's my pleasure to be here. Thank you very much.
Frank, for folks that don't know, has really delved into the Jerry Sandusky case and has exposed actually quite a bit to this point, reaffirmed some things from earlier reports that we've been talking about over the years with the likes of John Snedden and John Ziegler and many, many others. Frank, I want to start this morning. Where are you calling us from? Where are we checking in with you at here on this Monday morning?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question, because at the moment I'm at the Hilton Garden Inn in State College. And ironically, I'm sitting in a conference room that about 12 years ago, 12 years and a couple of days, Judge Cleland, Deputy Attorney General Frank Fina, Deputy Attorney General Joseph McGettigan, Deputy Attorney General Janelle Eschbach, Sandusky Attorney Joseph Amendola, and several others convened in this very room where I am seated right now to sell Jerry Sandusky's legal rights down the river by canceling, by secretly conspiring to cancel his preliminary hearing, where he would have had an opportunity to understand the bogus nature of the charges against him. So I'm sitting in this room now attempting to undo the criminal travesty that occurred against an innocent man named Jerry Sandusky.
Sorry, Frank, we must have had a little bit of a bad connection there. So you're at the Center County Courthouse. That's obviously where Judge Cleland would have conducted business. For a moment, it sounded like you were saying Hilton Garden Inn or something weird like that. You're obviously calling from the Center County Courthouse, because that's where judicial business, as important as this, would have been conducted. Can you just repeat again? Because, again, we have a bad connection
here. Yeah, it was garbled.
Yeah, it almost sounded like you were saying Hilton Garden Inn and judicial business being conducted there. Sorry about that, Frank. We're just having a little phone line problem, I think, this morning.
I think let me try to be clear. No, I am not at the courthouse. I am at the Hilton Garden Inn in State College. And I am not calling from a courthouse. I'm calling from the room where Judge Cleland chose to conduct the most important hearing in the entire Sandusky case. It was, by the way, after hours, and that may have been the reason, because they conducted the meeting in the evening and in secret. Now, most judges, and I hope you can hear me, I hope this is coming across, because most judges do their court business in a court, but Judge Cleland, who's a little bit above the law, he chose to conduct his most important hearing for the trial of Jerry Sandusky in a hotel conference room where only those invited, and definitely not the public, got to hear his unjust words of dishonor.
Frank, in all seriousness, do we know at the time, did Jerry Sandusky, did he have any awareness that this meeting was taking place, or even in the immediate aftermath, that it had taken place?
No. Not only did he not know it, but co-counsel, Jerry's co-counsel, was never told. This was discovered 4 years later, after he was convicted, that they sold his most essential right, the right to a preliminary hearing, the right to understand what the charges were and who was accusing him. And in this room where I'm now seated, they made a decision to speed up the trial to ensure that he was convicted, that Jerry Sandusky was convicted by the summer of 2012 so that they did not risk the cancellation of their football season.
Frank, I know you have been dogged in your reporting on this. Why are you just 2 days before Christmas in State College? This is not your home base.
No, it's not. I'm here to speak with some, and I can't name them right now, but several of the accusers, witnesses at the trial, have come to the realization that they can't go on living the lie that they told during the trial. And that even though that money was juicy at the time, stolen fruit never ripens. And most of them have blown all their money. And a couple of them, I was on your show some time ago, and I made a challenge to anybody and everybody, and two people contacted me to take me up on my statements. And so I am about to release some bombshell evidence very soon that will show that everything was set up by the despicable prosecutors who suborned perjury to railroad an innocent man, Jerry Sandusky. He's innocent, and ergo Joe Paterno is innocent. In one case, the man died shortly thereafter, and in the other case, the man sits 12 years now in prison because of the despicable behavior of the prosecutors, the cowardly behavior of that Institute of Lower Learning, Penn State, and the way they handed out money to false accusers. And, of course, the accusers themselves who perjured themselves on the witness stand. I will be providing unequivocal and indisputable evidence of their fraud. Some people may go to jail.
Frank, the timing of this, we're on the heels of the accuser in the Duke lacrosse case publicly now admitting that, yep, she made the whole thing up. Does that have anything to do with the timing here? Do you think that played any role in the conscience, or just as kind of happenstance that we're getting potentially two cases being largely recanted here within a couple of weeks of each other? And the Duke case, I think, was widely known to be fraudulent for many years here. But did the public recanting there, do you think, influence at all the thinking here of the folks in the Sandusky case?
I don't think so, because her public confession came actually after I was contacted. However, I think the public is now beginning to see that prosecutors cheat just as much as senators do, just as much as mayors do, and elected officials. There's nothing about a prosecutor that makes them, by any divine dispensation, to be any more honest than an elected official. In fact, they have more power and less scrutiny. It's likely that they're more dishonest.
Yeah, the John Ziegler has a wonderful piece, I think it came out last week, called "The Duke Lacrosse Hoax is Not an Aberration," and he goes through and recounts. He focuses on the Duke case, Brett Kavanaugh, and Michael Jackson, but does end it by talking about Jerry Sandusky as well. It is, I guess, disconcerting. It should be disconcerting to all of us that a narrative can so quickly, a false narrative can so quickly be established by the, I'm going to use the term that's probably overused, mainstream media, and then it's just glommed onto as, man, that's probably fact, or is fact. And we just have example after example after example, Frank, over the years, where the mainstream media has either flat out lied or at worst, and in other cases, they just flat out got it wrong. I know we have it's growing distrust in the media, but when you investigate a case like this, and I was talking a little bit before you came on, Frank, I am not aware of anybody who has really looked into the Sandusky case, like to any significant degree, who has come away saying, "Oh yeah, no, they got him. He's definitely guilty." Every person I'm aware of that actually took the time to look into this has come away with the same conclusion that you have, and it's like, well, no, this is an absolute sham. It's ridiculous.
You're 100% right. If anyone would spend 30, 45 minutes even looking into the facts of this case, it stinks. The prosecutors cheated. But you know who I think the real villain is here? Is Penn State. Penn State should have. The board of directors at Penn State back in 2011 should have weighed insofar as they have a law school and they're supposed to be an institute of higher learning, they should have weighed in with the presumption of innocence. Yet they put all their weight into the presumption of guilt. And that turned the tide. If Penn State said Paterno and Sandusky were guilty, in which they showed by their actions, then why should anybody doubt that they're guilty? Penn State was a villain in this case. I'm not going to blame the entire body, but that board of directors was a craven, cowardly board, and some had a personal vendetta. There are some exceptions. Anthony Lebrano was a man who was like a voice in the wilderness saying, wait a minute, there's something wrong here. We're rushing to judgment. But the facts remain. We will prove this. Jerry Sandusky's innocent. He sits in prison. He will be 81 years old next month. And it was one of the greatest railroading of an innocent man since we saw in 1692 in Salem, Massachusetts.
All right, we're going back to the witch trials. All right, ooh. Frank, this is Scott. I'm just curious now, with all the work that you've done and all the work that you're going to do, if everything you're saying is true, a firestorm isn't a strong enough word on what's going to happen. I mean, there's going to be a reaction like crazy. Have you had any pushback somehow from somebody, maybe that group you were just discussing, of any kind, as you've been digging and talking to people and interviewing and so on, have you gotten any kind of pushback at all from anybody as you've been doing your work?
The only pushback I've gotten that's significant is from the present Penn State Board of Directors. And they are annoyed. They are disturbed. They're perturbed. They even sued one of the board members out of their audacious paranoia that board member might have spoken to me. They instituted a lawsuit. They're in pure cover-up mode, and again, the board is proving that they want this institute to be a institute of lower learning. Because a good institution, a real university, would be seeking the truth.
Well, I'd like to think that just good human beings anywhere, it's like, yeah, I want the truth. And that's what, from day one, I have said, and again, full disclosure, I grew up I was raised a few houses down from the Sandusky family, so admittedly, I've been very open. I have a connection there, and it's just one of those things I can't believe. And I think it has turned out with good reason. It's just not a credible story. But why is the? I mean, I think I know the answer, but I'm just curious to get your perspective. Why there is such insistence? And it's not just Penn State. I mean, again, I think it's throughout the judicial system here in Pennsylvania. It's like, no, we can't possibly go back and even look at this case. Again, why is that? When, again, I think the evidence, Frank, I mean, it's not close. As John Ziegler says, when you look at this, it's not like it's close. It's like, oh, maybe he did, maybe. No, you look at it, it's like, well, obviously, this is complete malarkey. Why such resistance to allowing people to look and find the truth in this case?
Pure greed, pure evil. Judges don't want to admit that they got it wrong because then people will question the judiciary and its integrity, its ability to discern the truth. Judge Cleland would rather, I believe, go to his grave with an innocent man in prison than ever admit that he was a tool of economic interests and that he never cared about justice. He only cared about his selfish, dirty hide. And I have nothing but contempt for Judge Cleland and the prosecutors. Penn State doesn't want to admit it's wrong because they don't want to admit error. They would rather pretend that they're an institute of higher learning. The judiciary would rather pretend that they believe in justice rather than actually deliver justice. And so, no, nobody wants to admit they're wrong. But a tidal wave is coming, a new kind of understanding. And I think this recent election kind of indicates that people now know that prosecutions can be weapons to target people. Senator Casey lost his seat. He was a big man invested in the guilt of Sandusky because his brother made a lot of money for lawsuits. The attorney general is changing hands, and now there's an attorney general who actually conceivably understands the crookedness of the prosecutor, Jonelle Eschbach, because he once, I'm told, ran against her in an election and defeated her. And I think he knows a little bit about her integrity or lack thereof. We're seeing a new kind of world now that isn't going to buy the terrible lie that we can't admit the truth because it'll make us look bad.
Frank, I know you can't get into some details this morning. How soon are you expecting that we will have you releasing some of these details? And I guess maybe what is the next step here in the process from your standpoint?
I will be releasing details in January that will be, I would say, somewhat akin to an avalanche. And it's going to overwhelm the people who have made this lie stand for 12 years. It includes witnesses and includes some shocking facts about the prosecutors and the judge, Cleland. And it's not pretty. And that's why I'm in town. I'm going to be wrapping up some details. And by the way, while I am in town, and I'll be here for a while, I'd like to be able to say that I'm willing to meet with anyone who has something to say or cares to say. And that would include the villains in this case of putting an innocent man, Jerry Sandusky, in prison.
Frank, anything else you want to get out there this morning? We'll obviously keep following up with you here in the coming weeks, but I don't want you to leave the interview saying, man, I wish they would have asked me this or I could have gotten that out. Anything else at this point this morning that you want to get out there regarding the case and your investigation?
Yes, there's one or two things briefly. I have a degree of wrath over this thing because it's a plain injustice. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to make a prediction of the future. People, generally people, the masses think that Jerry Sandusky is guilty. He must be guilty. He was convicted. All of these accusers came forward. all of whom got millions of dollars and knew they were going to get millions. But I have wrath because it's outrageous that there's such apathy amongst the general public, and this is our nation. And if we allow innocent people to languish in prison without even taking the time to study, even taking the brief time it would take to look at this case and know it's a fraud, what does that say about us as a society? And the second thing I'm going to say is that the evidence that we're going to deliver, which will be trumpeted across the land, it will be in the media. The media helped to put him in. The media will help to release him. But I think that the villains who come forward now and admit their wrongdoing will fare much better than those who wait until it's inevitable, until everyone knows. So I invite those who know they lied, who know they cheated, to put innocent Jerry Sandusky, a man who's really more like a saint than a criminal, they can come forward now, and there will be a place for them to do something worthwhile to avoid their own destruction.
Frank, if somebody wants to do that, should they come to the hotel? How do they get a hold of you?
They can come to the hotel, or they can give me a call or email me. May I give my phone number and email?
Okay. Absolutely.
Sure.
My phone number is 305-783-7083, number one. And you can find my email and my phone always on my website, frankreport.com. And I am willing to talk to anybody. You can drop in and see me. You can generally find me if I'm not out in Judge Cleveland's old conference room where he held court once to make sure that an innocent man was convicted.
Frank, thank you very much for the time this morning. Thank you for all of your efforts here to get the truth out. And we certainly look forward to talking to you some more here in the coming weeks and months. Frank, again, thank you, thank you, thank you.
It's my pleasure, and I hope you'll have me back when I have more to report, which will be soon.
You know that we will. Thank you. That's Frank Parlato, frankreport.com.